Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're again preaching to you about the gospel of the kingdom of God at hand, and that you should be striving for it and seeking it. And unfortunately, most of the preachers aren't even telling you what it looks like. They tell you that the kingdom of God is where you go when you die. But Jesus said the kingdom of God was for the living, not for the dead. He said it was at hand. It was within your reach. You were to be striving daily and seeking it. And there were a lot of things you weren't to do anymore. But you keep doing them. As a matter of fact, if you actually understood what was going on at the time of Christ and what's going on now, and you were to look at all the people in the world, and you were to try to categorize them according to the people at the time of Christ, most Christians would fit in the category with the Pharisees, and even some with the Sadducees. And of course, some fundamentalists would be with the Zealots. But almost none of the people today claiming to be Christian would actually be fit into the role of what the early Christians were doing. They're not doing what the early Christians were doing. But this is great news for you to hear, because once you hear, you can repent. You see, you can change. But if nobody tells you, you're going to keep going the same way you're going. Now, a lot of people are recognizing something's wrong. And unfortunately, a lot of the voices I hear telling you about something being wrong are not telling you what is wrong. And they're saying, this is right, or this is right, and this is right. But none of them are what Christ said. Oh, they say it's what Christ said, but they're actually workers of iniquity. And Christ warns us about this, about many saying that they're coming in His name, and they're actually workers of iniquity. So how do we tell the difference? This is really important, and we're now in our, I think, session 7 in this session. So since it's called John the Baptist TV session, and we may not name it that when we put it up in the archives, but it's named that in the files that I'm saving here as I record the program. But if you read back in Matthew 11:12, and we've talked about this a number of times, we see from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Take what? The kingdom of heaven. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Okay, what's he talking about? Suffereth violence. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The kingdom of heaven is only heard in Matthew. He's the only one that uses the phrase kingdom of heaven. And it's a quirk of translation from going from the Aramaic to the Greek to the English. They end up with this phrase kingdom of heaven, because kingdom of heaven is the same as the kingdom of God. Except it's not exactly the same, because it is a little bit different. And it has to do, I say, from coming from these different languages. Because he also talks about the kingdom of God, but sometimes he talks about this kingdom of Ouranos, this kingdom of heaven. And Ouranos actually means the vaulted ceiling of the earth and everything within it. Despite what some people think, the Romans didn't actually believe that the earth was on the back of a tortoise, and they actually knew there were planets, and they knew there was rotations, and they knew there were stars. And people long before the Romans were even calculating the circumference of the earth. So we want to think they were stupid and we're smart and we know better. And, you know, they thought that if you sailed out to the ocean, you'd fall off, which is what sailors told young sailors. Oh, I don't want to go too near the edge because you might fall off. You know, it's the boogeyman stuff. Most of them knew what was going on. Now, there were ignorant people around. There's always was, and there still are ignorant people around. I can tell you a lot of things that people believe today that is completely ridiculous. I remember one somebody telling me up in North Dakota, I won't say who it was, he's passed away now, But when he was a kid, he was told that the Northern Lights was the sun reflecting off of the ice cap and causing the Northern Lights. Well, we know that the Northern Lights are caused by gases being heated up in the upper atmosphere by radiation that comes in at the polar cusp through solar flares and solar radiation that comes from the sun through space and strikes the Earth. We actually can predict it. We can see it coming now. We have satellites out there that photograph the flares and say, oh, we've got an incoming coming. And this actually, we're now beginning to understand that, although I've told people about this since I was a kid, that radiation is actually charging the core of the Earth. And eventually, if you get to a certain critical mass, you will actually have the creation of matter in the Earth, and the Earth will actually expand. And during that process, you'll have earthquakes everywhere and tidal waves and volcanoes and, you know, dogs and cats living together, you know, I mean, all kinds of biblical, horrible things. But society will survive, or at least people will survive. What we know today as society will probably not survive, but that's a good thing. Because society as it is today is an apostasy of God's intent in creation. Because most people have gone away from the ways of God. And they have been changed by that. I tell a story of a man who came out here to the desert years and years ago, wrote a book about the desert, and the Oregon Desert actually is the name of the book. And his name is Rube Long, and he has one line in there that he says, many a man came to the desert to change it and were changed by it. And of course, you know, the age-old proverb of women who marry a man with the intent of changing him ends up usually turning her into a bit of a witch, because you can't change him. It doesn't work quite that way. If freedom, liberty under God, doesn't give you the right to change other men. If you do, you will become a dictator, and you will be changed by that effort. So you don't want to go around trying to change people. You can witness, you can bear witness, you can encourage, you can rebuke, but you can't change people. You only have the right to live your life. And now Cain thought he could change things. Nimrod thought he could change things. Caesars of the world, they think they can make things right, and they usually make things worse. And the more you look to them, the worse things get. These governments, Babylon wasn't created by God. Cain's city-state wasn't created by God. It was created by men. And men who reject God go out of the presence of God like Cain did, or reject God like the Israelites did, because they had rejected God, that he should not reign over them. So they established a kingdom under a single man. And it ended up not being from generation to generation, because it wasn't Saul's son who took over. The kingdom of God has been around from the beginning. It was in the hands of Adam and Eve. It was in the hands of Seth and Shem after Noah, and was in the hands of Abraham. And it has existed, Daniel says, from generation to generation. Now, the Bible tells us that. That may not be in your eschatology or your hermeneutic, but the reality is the kingdom of God has been from generation to generation. Even Jesus said to the Pharisees, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to another who bears fruit. So if he's going to take it away from them, and they already got it, it's already there. So you have to understand, the kingdom of God is not where you go when you die. It's a way to relate to your fellow man and to God. And of course, religion is part of that kingdom. But religion is not your opinion of God. Religion is the way in which you perform your duty to God and your fellow man. And that was the definition 200 years ago. Now that's changed. And so when I say religion, which definition pops in your mind? The one that says that religion is your opinion about a supreme being, or the definition where it's the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man? Which definition pops up in your head? Because I can't talk to you until you have the right definitions in there. I mean, I do talk to you, but you're not going to understand it. And if you don't want to accept that, then how am I going to explain it to you? And how am I going to make you understand? And I'm not going to make you understand because I don't have the right to make you understand. The only one who's going to make you understand is the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to make reference to it. And I'm going to rebuke you if you're not doing it and saying it right. And I have the right to rebuke you because that's an act of love. Because as many as I love, I also rebuke. That's the way it works. That's what the Bible says. So anyway, in this blog on this website about this article that wasn't about rebellion, it's about understanding who and what is in charge and who gets to be in charge and how they get to be in charge because of your sin and all these things. And the problem is many Christians think that they're not in rebellion to God. They think they're doing things in the name of Jesus, but they're actually workers of iniquity. And I'm pointing that out, and they don't want to hear it. So even when you explain it to them in an article, they read the article and they see all kinds of other things that isn't really there. So anyway, we ended up with the last session talking about the fellow who said, read throughout the New Testament how believers are exhorted to live obedient, quiet, and godly lives in submission to governmental authorities. And actually, there is a talk about submission and doing it because it just makes good sense. But then people try to draw lines. Where don't we do it? And he goes on to say, as the one teacher quoted does, that the decline of American churches is because they have submitted to wrong interpretation of Romans 13 is absurd. I have attended, he says, and ministered in hundreds of evangelical churches across America for over 40 years, and yet have never heard a ringing sermon ever on Romans 13. Yeah, it's best they don't bring it up. It virtually is ignored, he says. American Christians, if anything, are almost contemptuous of government. Problem is, most of these people are non-Christians. In all these hundreds of churches, he's never realized that all these churches are in apostasy. And they're not in apostasy because they misinterpret Romans 13. They're in apostasy because they're not doing what Jesus said. All of those churches, when they have a widow in their church, someone needy in their church, they send them to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And Jesus said, it is not to be that way with you. Now, I'm not making that up. That's what it says right there in the gospel, out of Jesus' own mouth. But these men do that. Those widows and orphans will have daily bread because they apply to men who exercise authority to obtain benefits, you know, a check coming in. And that's where they'll get their daily bread, because they apply, pray, beseech those men who exercise authority that are not really benefactors. They just call themselves that. And that's right there in the gospel. And Jesus tells you that. I mention it over and over again. I never hear that mentioned in the churches. And I've been in lots and lots of churches. I don't know if it's hundreds or not. I have lost count long ago. But I don't hear preachers saying that. And rooms full of preachers, I ask them, what did Jesus call the weightier matters? They couldn't list off one. I went all around the country, traveled 10,000 miles on a tour. Every place I stopped, I asked that question. And finally, one man answered it, and I think he knew it because I talk about it all the time. What are those weightier matters? Do you know? Because every single one of them has to do with government. And before we get to the end of this, I'll do it right now. Let's look at a story that was just in the news today. That's got to be interesting. Just came to me today anyway. I don't know. It might have been around for a while. But somebody and Halifax was going around giving away money. You've heard these stories that people, you know, like they give a tip, $1,000 tip. And somebody got actually a $5,000 tip for service, and somebody just gave this huge amount of money away. And they don't even know who it was. It was just this huge tip that was given to somebody. Of course, now they got to pay taxes on it. But it was just given to them as a gift. And the fact is that's fine if people want to do that. That's really not the way Christ would do it. Generally speaking, there's a better way to do it. And I'll tell you why. And you'll know why by the time we get to the end of the story. Anyway, June Bond said she was still shaking Tuesday afternoon as she talked about a mysterious stranger walking up to her in Dartmouth home and handing over two $50 bills. And she actually was also given some $5 coins. I guess they have coins that are worth $5. They have pictures here on the web. And Bond and Bill McNamara were having a cigarette on their porch around 9 a.m. Tuesday when a yellow Nissan Xterra pulled up and the man got out. And she said, at first, she thought he might have been selling something. Bond said, before he handed over the bills and two silver $5 coins, she said he then told the couple to look up and say thank you as he pointed to the sky. Next thing you know, they were both crying and you couldn't get any words out, and Bond said with a smile, I'm still shaking, and they were just thrilled. And this guy evidently went around giving out these $50 bills all over town. Bought groceries at Sobeys, etc. They say it goes on and on in the story. Anyway, you can look it up. But interesting story. This mysterious man who gave out free money in Halifax reportedly was detained by the PEI Mental Hospital. And that's where the story gets even more interesting. There's a picture of the guy on the web sitting in a chair, just normal guy, looks like a nice guy. And over to the side, I see a copy laying on a table. Or actually, it's not a table. It looks like a crib, a little crib sitting next to him. And in it is the Holy Bible. That's what this guy evidently reads the Bible. But anyway, the daughter of this mysterious man, who was handing out cash across what they call here HRM, Halifax Royal something or other, last week said her father had been arrested and taken into the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Charlottetown to be assessed for his mental health issues because he's giving away money to people he thinks have a need. On Sunday evening, Chelsea writes, posted, which is evidently, I think, his daughter, and a photo of her father, Richard Wright, on Facebook to call attention to what she says has been unfair treatment by the hospital and RCMP. She said Wright was driving home from Charlottetown from Halifax to Charlottetown from Halifax on Thursday, after sharing some extra money with people in HRM, when he was arrested and taken to the hospital where he has been forced to take medication and was not informed of his rights by the police. He did nothing illegal. He was simply helping some people out. Since when did being a nice person make you end up in the hospital? It's the new norm. They think he is sick and has mental issues, but I know he does not, she wrote. Since Metro reported on June Bond receiving two $50 bills from Wright last Tuesday, dozens of people in Dartmouth and Halifax have reported seeing the same man passing out money, telling them to thank God and pass the money along if they didn't need it. Jennifer Cobert received $150 from Wright last week and said his positive comments about how things will get better stuck with her more than the money. Cobert said she was pretty excited when she saw the photo of Wright on Facebook because she never thought she would see him again. He's really a good man. I don't think he's crazy, Cobert said Monday morning. I don't think it's fair this happened. I mean, do you think that people are going to want to do good after this? Well, that's a good point. She said she called Wright in the hospital on Sunday night to thank him and give him back a little bit of what he gave me. But he still sounded in good spirits. calls to RCMP in Prince Edward Island have yet to be returned. Pierre Bordage's spokesman for Halifax Regional Police said Monday he couldn't comment if they had been contacted by police in PEI about a man in HRM handing out free money. He did say police received a report of suspicious activity in Edward Street area of Dartmouth on the afternoon of March 18th, but he couldn't say if the man was right. He said when police pulled over the vehicle, the officers called the mental health crisis team for assistance, but after speaking with the man, they determined there was no cause for further action. I can't tell you this individual didn't break any laws, Bordage said. The Facebook group about the situation involving the man was started on Monday morning, titled Op Free Richard Wright. Anyway, it must be Operation Free Richard Wright. It had over 200 likes in an hour of being posted. So now, what is anybody really... Now, during this man's incarceration, he was put in a cell for 8 hours with nothing to eat except for two slices of white bread. That's it. That's what he gets. Two slices of white bread during his incarceration. She says, my dad was also worried about the cats at home. He was, the police didn't seem to worry about his kids back at home, if he was the sole provider. He asked to call by phone to let people know where he was. They just ignored him. They didn't respond to him whatsoever. You know, and he's kept there for hours and hours. And then he's told that he's going to be detained for another 3 days. He's not going home. And they actually bring in two pills that he's supposed to take. And if he doesn't take it, they threaten to inject him with a needle. Is he ranting and raving? You know, you assume, there must be something wrong. Because this doesn't happen in our country. It does happen in your country. We've got several stories up of people who are forced, drugged, to the point where they are literally lobotomized and become wards of the state. Normal, everyday, hardworking individuals, award-winning people, achievers, end up taking drugs as a matter of medical prescription because of a physical ailment, but those drugs have a they're psychotropic drugs. They cause insomnia. So instead of taking them off the drug, which that says that drug causes insomnia, can cause insomnia, instead of taking them off that drug and prescribing something that doesn't cause insomnia, and the only reason they're taking that drug is it's not life-threatening or anything. It wasn't because of depression or anything. It was because of a medical problem that they were unable to fix with surgery. But it wasn't the end of the world. I mean, it wasn't going to die from it. But now he's become a mental vegetable because they prescribed two more drugs, which eventually lobotomized him because of his reaction to the drug, which is possible. These are side effects to these drugs. And now his family's not allowed to visit him. He's completely a ward of the state, and the taxpayers are paying tens of thousands of dollars a year to take care of him. And he was literally crippled by the doctors who have now incarcerated him in a mental hospital. And, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details, or we won't get into this show, but, I mean, you can go read the stories. This happens all the time. But right now we have to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back. We're talking about this fellow who's a charitable man in Halifax who was arrested. So anyway, this guy, because he was giving away some money, he's now incarcerated, forced to take medication. There's no oversight. There's no proper oversight. We just saw this with Justina, who was taken away from her parents because one doctor had an opinion different than another doctor. And her regular doctors in the state where she lives thinks she has one problem, mitochondria, and the doctors that she didn't even go to see, she went to see a surgeon at this other hospital who had treated her before, and they went to that hospital, and the hospital literally kidnapped her because there was a doctor there that says, oh, I don't think it's mitochondria. Just overnight, he just decides this, and you can go read the medical publications on this, and they say it could take as much as a year of testing to determine whether she has mitochondria or somatoform. And doctors have warned, top doctors in the United States, former heads, chairs of the people who make the manual up for doctors to go by, say that there's a great danger that they're going to be diagnosing tens of millions of Americans with mental illness, including somatoform, instead of what they really have, which is things like mitochondria. If they don't change the manual. These are top doctors saying this. And of course, this is what's happening. and you sit by going to church, not tending to the weightier matters, and let this happen. And here this man is in jail. They're talking about keeping him in jail for 30 days. Just taking 30 days out of his life. He can't go back home, can't go back to work, can't take care of his kids, they can't take care of his house, because he gave some money away. Nobody said that he couldn't afford to give the money away. I mean, Rockefeller gives away millions of dollars. Nobody put him in jail. What's the deal? So what's going on here? So anyway, be careful. Don't be charitable anymore. So anyway, he's kept in a room still and only allowed out for 30 minutes at a time. He's still in good spirits, it sounds like, according to the one person who did get to talk to him. But this is insane. This is crazy. The guy's not hurting anybody. Well, the family's not destitute. The family's not saying, oh, he's giving away all the money and we're starving. The family's saying, give us our dad back. So what? What is crazy? You've given too much power to government. You made a habit of doing it. You're creating the beast. And part of that is because you're a beast. Yep, you're a beast. You take a bite out of your neighbor every time you take a benefit from a bankrupt government. You even take a bite out of their unborn children, because their unborn children are going to have to pay the debt back for all the benefits you're taking today, because every one of these systems is in debt. This is simple. Do the math. But you don't want to hear this, that you have actually rebelled against God and gone whoring after the ruling judges who take people and throw them into mental institutions because they want to be charitable. Now, that man should read his Bible a little bit better, and he should come to the Living Network and find out how you are supposed to give charity, because, you know, those people sitting on their deck there, would I have gone and given them $100? Not if they're going to go down and buy cigarettes. I'm not going to do that. If they can afford cigarettes, they're not broke. I've said this before. I don't smoke. Can't afford to smoke. Don't want to smoke. Not interested in smoking. I tried it once when I was a little kid. Well, I wasn't a real little kid, but I mean, when I was younger. I mean, anybody under 40 is a little kid to me. Well, that's an age thing. A little elderly humor there. But anyway, the people in this blog, some of them, haven't got a clue what the gospel says. They don't understand that you create government, because you're not attending to the weightier matters. And I haven't mentioned what the weightier matters are yet in this show. I've mentioned it hundreds of times in other shows. But I keep saying that. I wonder how many of you are going to run to your Bible and look up, where does Jesus talk about the weightier matters? See if you can find out what they are. And those of you who have heard me 100 times, can you remember them? Because I've told this to pastors. I explained this to them. Smart guys. And within a week, I brought it up again. They couldn't remember. They couldn't remember what the weightier matters were. You think that when they heard about the weightier matters that Christ said you should be attending to, that they would have memorized that? I mean, they've been a pastor for 30 years. You think they'd already know it. But a week goes by and they can't remember. And they stumble and see, like, what was that again? The weightier matters? This guy says, why do you think that American conservative talk radio, which is mostly fueled by Christian listeners, is so blatantly contemptuous of our government? They ridicule the liberals. They spend all their time denouncing our government's current leadership. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's a democracy they're in. They get to have a different opinion. That isn't opposing government. If you see the government going the wrong direction, you know, towards socialism, you have the right to speak up and say, I don't think you should go towards socialism. That's freedom of speech. That's part of the law. Somebody's going to shut you up because you have an opinion. And this guy, you know, ridicule the liberals. The liberals aren't necessarily the government. Could be the conservatives that are the government. They're ridiculing the liberals because they have an opinion to take the government in a bad direction. You know, when David sinned against God and man because he tried to institute a draft, and 20,000 Israelites died in battles against the king, David didn't say, they have sinned against God because they didn't do what I told them. David said, I've sinned against God. because I told them that I had the right to draft their kids. So David said he sinned, not them. So what's this guy talking about? Let's get this in perspective. Now, does the government today have the right to draft you? Probably, because you don't know the weightier matters and how they work. Now, I'm giving you a hint now. Have you figured out what the weightier matters are yet? No, you probably haven't. You're not very bright. Some of you. Now, some of you know, and some of you have already known. And the fact is, this isn't because you're not very bright necessarily. It's because you've been lied to time and time again. You've been misled. You've been brought under a strong delusion. And it's time you repented. It's time you go back the other way. And that's what some of these Christian conservative talk radio people are doing. Most of them are very confused too. But at least they're out there saying there's something wrong about this. And they have a right to say that. That's not opposing government. That's the process of your democracy. Now, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's not. It's a republic. And the early church was referred to by historians as a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire. And the early American church was referred to as embryonic republics. And we talk about that in the book, The Higher Liberty. And you can go look that up. Embryonic republic. Viable republic. Go look it up on our website. There's search engines on almost every page in our website, so you can go look them up. But anyway, this guy goes on to say the, quote, "we must obey God rather than men," argument, unquote, argument, only applies when, as the apostles were, we are forbidden by the authorities to speak or preach or teach the name of Christ. Well, the name of Christ is the character of Christ, and the character of Christ is to live by faith, hope, and charity. And so I'm telling you, that if you're praying to benefactors who exercise authority for your daily bread, you're not doing anything in the name of Christ. You're opposing Christ. You're in rebellion against Christ. And you can go to church and you can say, "I believe in Jesus," but you don't know Jesus. And you don't know him maybe because nobody told you. But now if you're starting to hear this, that all the problems in the world come from the fact that you're rebelling against Jesus, rebelling against God. Jesus manifests the name of God, the way of God, the character of God. John 17:6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." And the word "world" there is what? Constitutional order or system of government. Not out of the age. Not out of the inhabited places, not out of the planet. They didn't come from another planet, but out of the constitutional order or system of government. Because they were in the world, but they were not of the world. You can't be a Christian. Well, I shouldn't say that entirely. You could be repentant and still be of the world, because you just can't get out of the world yet, because you're bound in by debt. But you can't be seeking the daily bread of the world without a repentant heart and tell me that you're Christian and still be an honest man. You can't do it. He goes on in that 17:6 to say, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Thine they were. In other words, the apostles were actually hearing God. God was writing upon their hearts and on their minds. We see that with Peter. When Jesus says, "Who am I, who am I, who am I?" asked him three times. And Peter speaks up. And he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because you know this not because flesh and blood has revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon that rock of knowing, I will build my church." So those of you who are hearing what I have to say, as I tell you to make straight the way of the Lord, which was the message of John the Baptist, you may be having God writing upon your heart and your mind. Now you need to act upon that. Now when I started out, I was talking about Matthew 11:12, where John the Baptist, "Until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence." The only other place you find the word there, "suffereth violence," the Greek word that they translate into "suffereth violence," is in Luke 16:16. And I think that's interesting, because it's not translated. It says, every man presseth into it. So they, one place it suffereth violence, and the other place it presseth into it. In Luke 16:16, who are they talking about and what are they talking about? Well, it's John the Baptist again. They say the law, and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God, he says, not the kingdom of heaven, is preached, and every man presseth into it. And I think both of these are poorly translated, and they're translated very differently. But both, what are they really talking about? Once you understand that Herod was baptizing people into the kingdom of heaven before John, and John was baptizing people into the kingdom of heaven at the same time that the ministers were still going out and baptizing people into the kingdom of heaven on behalf of Herod, we have to ask, what are we talking about? Are you saying that they were both doing the same thing? No, I'm not saying that. You see, what Herod was doing was baptizing people into his version of the kingdom of heaven. And his version was, sign up, register, you get a guaranteed entitlement. I don't care if it's at the Temple of Rome or the Temple of Jerusalem. We'll give you entitlements at either one. Temple of Rome, you can do all these other things that you're not allowed to do at the Temple of Jerusalem because they have this moral code, supposedly, although they were breaking that down. It was, divorce was becoming rampant amongst many of the Jews at the time, just as it was becoming rampant amongst many of the Romans, but more so. Romans used to have no divorce. Everything was based on family. Everything was based on free will offerings, but now they were going this Hellenistic way of socialism that came out of places like Athens. Common purses, where they had golden statues as their reserve fund. And now they were starting to do the same thing in Herod's government as they were doing in the world over there in the Roman government. But John the Baptist was out there saying, no, make straight the way of the Lord. If you have two coats and your neighbor has none, do it with charity. Do the same with meats. Do it with charity. This is John the Baptist. And this, I don't know what John the Baptist TV is preaching. I haven't been able to download their shows or anything, so I'm not picking on them at all. But this is what they need to preach. They've left that article up there. That's great. But it's been fairly inactive. I haven't seen anything new there. At least I've had other people, other ministers, go and look at it. But I'm not here to plug them. I'm here to plug the real John the Baptist and anybody who is following his ways. And that's what we need to be doing. But we're not doing that. People are arguing about what they think. Long as, he says, as long as we're allowed to preach in the name of Christ. Well, then why don't you start? Because those hundreds of churches across America for 40 years aren't doing that. They're not preaching what Christ said. As a matter of fact, they send people to benefactors who exercise authority. And any church that is not striving to go the other way has not yet repented. He goes on and talks about American Christianity is apostate because the individuals who claim to follow Christ are not being obedient to him, pure and simple. The problem in American Christians, not the government. I agree. I don't know that he necessarily agrees why I agree. Anyway, he goes on to say, in fact, the reason for America's steep decline of morality and spirituality lies in that disobedience. I would agree. But what is that disobedience? I may not agree with him on that. I don't know. He goes on to say, remember, all that is not of the character of Christ in us will be burned up. And the final day will result in many surprises. I can agree with that. But I'm not sure that what I think will be the surprises is what he thinks will be the surprises. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I agree. One of those self-controls, if you sit and eat with a ruler, put a knife to your throat because he serves you deceitful meats. In other words, don't eat. Don't eat of him that has an evil eye, a covetous eye. Because through covetousness they will make merchandise of you, and have already. Against such things there is no law. If those were really the things that you were doing. You see, you go around, and I go to hundreds of American churches, and I evangelize, and I preach the gospel, but what have you done to help the people so they don't have to covet their neighbor's goods and pray to men who call themselves benefactors? Have these hundreds of churches become the social welfare of the people, or have they abandoned that once responsibility of the church to the government, thereby giving more power to the government and less power to the people? And why did they do that? Because they are already in rebellion to God, and they need to repent. Every church out there needs to be preaching this message, not just this one lone voice out in the wilderness. He goes on to say, no government can keep you from exhibiting the life of Christ in your body, heart, and mind. Well, that's true. But are you even doing that? Outward laws do not quench the Spirit of God in us, nor His work in His true church. But where is His true church? Where is the true church doing what it's supposed to be doing? Christians were executed because they would not sign up for the public social welfare of Rome, called Corban, that made the Word of God to none effect. They were cast out of the system of Judea and said there was another king. And we see them daily taking care of the daily ministration, dividing the bread from house to house. Church doesn't do that anymore. They leave that to the benefactors who exercise authority. So anyway, I could go on with, he goes on and he says, I suggest we put our eyes on ourselves. I agree. And quit blaming obedience to government as the problem. It isn't the problem. But signing up for the benefits is not obedience to government. It's wantonness. Because you know, every single one of those governments are bankrupt. The United States is bankrupt. The welfare system is bankrupt. I know some of you new listeners might not believe that, but we have articles showing you that if the country is operating in the red, the welfare system is bankrupt because it's a common purse. There is no division of funds. Supreme Court's ruled that over and over again. So all the money you paid in is gone. The only way you're going to get a benefit is to take it from the unborn children that will have to pay it back. And that's taking a bite out of your children. Bet on the wrong horse. You lost. Stop sucking from the future of your children. Repent. Now you can do this. God set up a whole way of doing it. I'm not just saying, you know, stop all this and not giving you an alternative. Christ is giving you an alternative, and that's why we created the Living Network. That's why we have this opportunity for you to start gathering together and taking care of one another. But if you're going to say, oh, but I got to do this first, and I got to do that first, and I got to go do this, then you're just the same problem that Christ ran into. And the more you put it off, the worse it gets. So you need to go to the websites, preparingyou.com, and join the network, or just type in thelivingnetwork.org, and it'll take you there. And join the network and start forming congregations of record. Don't just get on an email group. We can't send you food over email. We can't help you out. We're not going to invite you into our home if all we know is you're on an email group. We have to see that you're coming in the name of Christ. How do we know that? Because you come to do the word. You come to share. You come to be a servant. If everybody on the network came to the network to be a servant to righteousness, then you would all be welcome. I have probably 50 homes I could go to, and I would be welcome. How many do you have that would welcome you in hard times? Chances are I'll have 50 homes coming to me. But who knows? The fact is, you don't know what calamities may come, as the Bible tells us. So you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to do what they did in Acts. But you don't even know what that is. But you think you're preaching the Word of God. Because you can go into hundreds of churches all across America and not realize where the real problem is that they are being exactly the opposite of what Jesus said to do. You are not to call upon the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. But in every one of those churches, that's how they take care of their widows and orphans. That's not how they buy their big screen TVs and how they put their big buildings up. But that's not how they pay their big salaries. You know, somebody I know went and joined a church down in California, and they said, oh, their pastor says you don't know what you're talking about and everything. And I said, well, I'll talk with him. Oh, you can't talk to him right now because he's on sabbatical. He gets, besides the 1 month a year vacation he gets, paid vacation he gets, 1 month a year. He also gets a 3 month sabbatical in France. On the Riviera, no less. 3 months there. He's got to be on sabbatical. He's got to read his Bible, you know, and study. And, you know, it's such a stress being a minister. I work that son of a gun under the table any day of the week, and he's half my age. But I'm wrong. He's right. Well, that's because he's interested in taking 4 months off a year paid at your expense, and you fund him. You pay that slothful son of a guy who doesn't even tell you what the gospel is. Well, she ended up divorcing. But I'm wrong. She's right. He's right. Okay. You're gonna do whatever you want anyway. But if you want to do what Christ wants, it's not going to look like what you see the modern church doing. And that's just all there is to it. The put-in-hand preachers who are going around saying, yeah, Jesus loves you, while he delivers you into bondage. And, you know, if that fellow, I don't know the fellow in Halifax, and I don't know what he's like or anything like that. He looked like a nice guy in the picture. But if he really understands the gospel and gathers together with others who are really understanding the gospel, and they're really trying to take care of one another, and not just, you know, finance the smoking habits of people who probably are wasting money other places too. If you're in one of our congregations and you need financial help, you go to your pastor and you tell him that I'm in trouble. Is that pastor just going to reach into his pocket or into the church treasury and pull out a bunch of money and hand it to you? Well, if he really knows you, he might. But the reality is he's going to want to find out why you're in trouble. He's really going to want to know the problem. He's not going to give you a placebo. He's not going to just give you, you know, a bunch of money and throw money at the problem. He's going to try to find out why you need help. He's going to try to be of real help so that he can make you stronger, so that you're not dependent upon others. And we have a lot of people that are fiercely independent, and sometimes they're hesitant to ask for help, and I understand that. But you need to share with one another what your needs are. You need to work with one another and try to find out what it is that can help you so that you're not in financial difficulty, so that you're not having anger problems or doubt or fear or health problems. Find the real cause, not just treat the symptom. The symptom of not having enough money or enough food or whatever it is a symptom of a problem. What brought you to that? So we want to know, we want to solve the problem. And that's what the early church was. You got sick, you went to church. You lost your job, you went to church. You got injured, you went to church. You got legal problems, you went to church. And if you do that, gather together in His name, when they pick you up for helping the needy in your community and try to put you in a mental hospital, 1,000 real Christians will show up at the door of the jail and say, let my people go. And guess what? If you do it in an organized fashion, they'll let them go, at least for now. There will come a time where the even worse persecution, but we will be stronger by then. We will have more faith by then. And we will have more courage, hopefully, by then. So you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go the other way. And there's a few more comments here, and we maybe get one more program out of this. We'll talk about it later. But until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.